Well, if you would this morning, open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to bring a series of messages this morning out of 2 Timothy 3 and into chapter 4. A series of messages that will take us probably 5-6 weeks, counting the day, to get through this section. But in 2 Timothy 3 and 4, we see a series of warnings concerning the last days. And then throughout this section, we see various exhortations, various commands to stand fast, to remain faithful. And so I've entitled this, A Discerning Church in a Dangerous Age. A Discerning Church in a Dangerous Age. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And so Jesus has promised the church victory. But Jesus did not say that we would be without conflict. Jesus did not say that we would be without difficulty or without battles. As a matter of fact, Jesus has said just the opposite. Jesus has told us that this time of the church age, from His first coming to His second coming, would be full of conflict, that it would be full of difficulty, that it would be full of spiritual warfare. And the warning that is given to us in this passage of Scripture is a warning of the spiritual atmosphere of the last days. The last days will be difficult times. The last days will be times of spiritual deception. Not just deception out there in the world without the church, but spiritual deception within the church. The danger of false Christianity is everywhere. The danger of false preachers, the danger of false teaching, false believers, ungodliness, all within the church. John MacArthur said, quote, false doctrine and ungodly living are twins. They go together, and they are the greatest enemies of the church, end quote. And he's right. It's not those out in the world who say, oh, there's no God. The atheists, the God haters, the church haters, the Christian haters who are the greatest enemies of the church, but it's those within the church who are false, who profess to be men and women of God but are not and live in ungodliness. Those who profess to be preachers of the truth but are not. Those who are clothed as angels of light but are nothing more than pawns of the devil. It's those within the church who are false who are the greatest enemies to the church. The church has always been and always will be until Jesus comes plagued with false teachers, false teachings, false believers, and ungodly living. Even Jesus had a Judas. Because of this fact, the church is constantly, always, forever engaged in spiritual warfare. That's just the fact of it. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Satan slithered up there to Eve and began to hiss in her ear and speak lies. And throughout all history, the truth of God has been under attack. God Himself and God's Word is constantly being assaulted. And so this battle continually rages. Now this deception and this falsehood against the church and within the church should not surprise us. We are warned of this danger all throughout the Scripture, and I'm going to give us a few references. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. There it says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? The same thing that is said there in Jeremiah's day, the same thing's going on today. The preachers are preaching falsely. They are proclaiming lies. They are proclaiming peace and blessings and prosperity and all is well when all is not well, when the judgment of God is upon the land and coming down upon the land. Now, they're leading people in their own power, and the people, many of them, love to sit there and have it so. But what will you do in the end? What will you do when the judgment of God falls and the truth is revealed and you have been deceived? That's the question that's being asked. What will you do then? In Jeremiah 6, verse 14, God brings an indictment. He brings a charge against the prophets because they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They're saying, all is well. Everything is just fine. Things are going to get better. When all is not well, and things won't get better. All is not well today. All is not well in our own nation. All is not well in this world. The truth is, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. The truth is, the judgment of God is coming down. The judgment of God is burning right now and will burn all the more. That's the truth of the matter. God says in Ezekiel 13, verse 3, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Woe to them, God says, meaning cursed. Cursed are they. Eternal judgment be upon their heads. They say they hear from God. They say they're speaking for God, but in all reality, they follow themselves. They have seen nothing, and they are cursed. And all through the Old Testament we could go. False teachers, false preachers are nothing new. And God has warned us of them again and again and again. Jesus Himself warned us of false teachers and preachers. Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Beware of false prophets. Beware of them. Know they're out there. No, they come looking like preachers. They come looking like teachers. They come wearing the proper attire. They look the part, but instead they're ravenous wolves. They have come to destroy you. They've come to devour. Jesus warned us, Matthew 10, verse 16, that He was sending us out as sheep among wolves. That doesn't sound like it's going to be easy going, does it? Sounds like we're going to be engaged in a battle. We're going to be needing to be very discerning, clothed in armor. Matthew 24, verse 11, Jesus warned us, many false prophets will rise up and mislead many. Note that word many. Many false prophets, many who are misled. Mark 13, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in My name, saying, I am He, and will deceive many. Again, many coming, many proclaiming to be of Christ, and many being deceived. And so the warning there from Jesus is, be careful that no one deceives you. They will come with subtlety. They will come looking like angels of light. They will come looking like they're from God and professing that they are from God, but they are not from God. And they will mislead those who follow them. They will deceive. They will teach lies. They are of the evil one, and they lead all who follow them into hell. The entire book of 2 Peter warns us of false teachers who would peddle destructive doctrines and lead many astray. And for them, the judgment of God is coming. As a matter of fact, the harshest words ever spoken in the Word of God are spoken towards those who would proclaim to be of God and speak of God, but are not. Are not. 1 John 2, verses 12 through 23 warns us, even now many antichrists have gone out into the world. Literally, he says, there they've come out from among us. They've come out of the church, but they were not of us. If they would have been of us, they would have remained. But by their going out, they've proven, they've shown that none of them were of us. And they have gone out to mislead and to deceive. They are antichrists. They are against God. against the truth of Scripture, against Christ. The book of Jude is also written in its entirety to call the church to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, because certain men have crept in. They've come into the church and they've come in unnoticed, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness, who take the Scripture and the truth of God and turn it into a license to sin. And for them, God's judgment again is coming. For them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever and ever. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So some are going to depart from the faith. They will depart from the truth of Scripture. Some are going to buy the lie of deceiving spirits and doctrines, teachings of demons. Their conscience will be seared as with a hot iron. They will no longer be able to discern between truth and error. And please note the source of these false teachers and their teachings. It is satanic. These are doctrines of demons. This is a spiritual warfare that's going on. But make no doubt about it, even though this is a teaching and doctrines and deceptions that are satanic in their source, they are human in their means. And so they come through men and women who are professing to be of God. And so the source is demonic. The source is coming right from hell, coming right from the demons and the emissaries of Satan, all those who are working with him to deceive and destroy and lead others to hell. That's the source, but the means are human. The means are men and women who have been taken captive by him to do his will, who come into the church unnoticed and say they're from God and lead those who follow them into deception and hell. Paul fought these teachers and their doctrines everywhere that he went. No sooner would he go into an area, preach the gospel, lead others to saving faith in Christ, see some souls saved, and then begin to teach them the Word of God and establish them in the truth. No sooner would he do that, that the enemies would come in and begin to teach lies and deceptions and deceive and begin to lead those believers astray. And I want to take you over to the book of Acts for just a minute before we get into 2 Timothy there. You can hold your finger there in 2 Timothy. Maybe turn over to Acts chapter 20 with me for a minute. Very important passage concerning a warning to the church of the false teachers. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Speaking of Paul, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. And notice, he called for the elders of the church. These are the pastors of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things which will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul had poured the Word of God into these believers and into these churches. He had built them up in the faith, and he had not shunned to declare to them the whole counsel of God. He was preaching and teaching the truth, giving it to them lock, stock, and barrel, and he was holding nothing back. And as he is about to depart, he's saying to these elders, these pastors whom he is leaving these churches to, he says, "You're not going to see my face anymore." These are some final words to these men. And he says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, to the entire church." Why? Well, number one, because God has purchased the church with his own blood. This is not our church to do with as we see fit. This is God's church that he has purchased with his own blood, the very blood of Christ, and we are stewards under great responsibility and great accountability, under divine mandate from God himself. So take heed. Secondly, because savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And that's coming in from outside the church, coming into the church. And then he says, and also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. So that's from within the church. These men will rise up. And he says, I know this will happen. This I know. The wolves are going to come. Therefore, watch. Be on guard. And remember, for 3 years, I did not cease to warn you night and day with tears. Paul saying, I continually over and over and over again warned you of the danger that would come against the church, both from without and from within. It is the responsibility of every true God-called preacher to protect the church that God has purchased with his own blood. To warn of the false teachers and the false doctrines and the heresy and the error that is trying to come into the church. I have that God-given responsibility to you. To warn you of the false prophets, the false teachings that are permeating the professing church of our day. And so the Word of God, as we see here, is filled with warning after warning after warning to the church concerning false believers, false preachers, false teachings, spiritual deception, both from within the church and without the church. And so we must understand that the church and the truth of God's Word is constantly under attack. And we must constantly be aware of that fact. We must be a discerning church in a dangerous age. Sadly, many people, even within the church, are deluded into thinking, well, you know, all churches are good. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and we're talking about someone needing to be saved and get right with the Lord, and they say, well, you know, as long as they go to church somewhere, as long as they're going somewhere. No. No, 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 not at all. There's a lot of churches today leading people right to hell. There are churches that are far removed from God, far removed from the Word of God, far removed from preaching the true way of salvation. And yet they are filled with people and they're deceived. But so many have fallen into this mindset. Well, you know, all churches are good. Just they're trying to do the best they can. We really all just need to try to get along and work together. Does that sound familiar? Matter of fact, there's a major movement within the professing church and Christianity for all of us just to come together. I'll never forget receiving a letter not too long after I came here. It's been quite a few years back, from a pastor in this community writing to all the other pastors in the churches saying, we need to lay our doctrinal differences aside and just come together in love. I guess that sounds pretty good to many churches, many Christians, but that's absolutely demonic. Let me translate that for you. Let's take the Word of God out of our pulpits and out of our churches. Let's take the truth of that out and let's just come together in love. What do you got if you forget the Word? You don't have God, nor do you have love, because God is love. You want to push God and His truth out? You don't have God, nor do you have love. You don't have anything to come together on. But this is the mentality of the professing church. So much so, not only have professing churches laid aside the truth of God to come together with other churches, but now professing churches are laying aside the truth of God's Word to come together with a lost world that's heading into judgment. And what we see today is more and more professing churches, professing pastors, professing Christians joining arms with the world. They're joining arms with the homosexual movement. Churches are baptizing professing homosexuals. They're joining arms with the transgender movement. They're joining arms with the social justice movement. They're adopting the satanic ideologies of critical race theory. They're joining forces with abortion advocates, or if you want to call it what it is, murder advocates, the murder of babies. They're ordaining women pastors, ordaining gay pastors, and on and on and on it goes. They have exchanged the truth of God for the lie. It's satanic is what it is. It's wicked. In the most vile extreme, it is wicked to the core. Now, I'm all for coming together. Don't misunderstand me. But we must come together on the foundation of the Word of the living God. That's the foundation that we come together on, not at the expense of it. We must never lay aside the Word of God to come together. Never. It is God's Word that unifies us. We all want to get on the same page, then let's get on this page right here. If you're on this page, I'm on this page, then we're unified. If we're holding to this, believing this, submitting to that, then we're all on the same page, and that's God's page, and then we're unified in Him. It's God's Word that unifies us. It's the truth of Scripture that lays a foundation that cannot and will not ever fail. It is the truth of God's Word for which we are to stand and fight, having done all to stand. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever." And so when it's all said and done and all the dust settles in this world and the temporal is gone and the eternal has come, the word of God is going to stand. And we better be standing right there with it. That better be where we have built our life, or else our life will be destroyed. And so we must be faithful and true to the word of God. There's this movement today to lay aside the truth of Scripture. Why? Well, because it offends. It's no longer politically correct. It's no longer acceptable to this wicked society. So let's just lay aside the truth and come together in love with other churches and even a lost world. And boy, I tell you, if you reject that idea, you call that out. You call out preachers and churches and denominations because of their false teachings that don't line up with the Word of God. You call out churches and denominations who are forsaking the truth of Scripture and befriending the world. Then you will not be tolerated. You will be despised. You'll be characterized as unloving, mean-spirited, hateful, and you'll be canceled out. And yet Jesus, our great example, whom we are to walk just as He walked, He called out false teachers publicly with absolute boldness. Need I remind you of Matthew 23? That great series of woes. Woe to you, you scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you false teachers, you blind leaders of the blind. You go out and win one proselyte, convert him to the faith, and you make him twice as much a son of hell as you yourselves. You hypocrites, woe to you. Cursed are you. That's what Jesus had to say about false teachers. He's not playing around. This is eternity at stake. This is the purity of His church at stake. Peter called them out. Jude called them out. Paul called them out. Matter of fact, Paul called a couple of them out by name in the record of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. They called out false teachers, called out false teachings. They warned those whom they led to be on guard, to be aware of these things. And so I just plead with you not to be as so many are today and just be so quick to accept anything that's labeled Jesus as the true Jesus of Scripture. Anything labeled Christianity is true Christianity. So many are quick to, you know, just accept anything that's labeled Christianity. If it's got Jesus on it, if it's about church, if it's about Christianity, they just take it all in as if it is. And so much of it is false. And that's a dangerous thing to do. It's a damning thing to do. And those who accept anything labeled as church or Jesus or Christianity as true do not comprehend the warnings of Scripture that would call us to be on guard against these false preachers and teachers. Understand that everything labeled Jesus is not the true Jesus of the Scripture. Everything labeled Christianity is not the true Christianity revealed in the pages of Scripture. As a matter of fact, most of what flies under the banner of Jesus in Christianity and church in our day, most of it is false. Now, there's truth there. The real thing there, the real Jesus there, true Christianity there, but most of it is false. And we need to realize that. We must be on guard. And the fact of the matter is, this battle is going to grow worse and worse. Spiritual deception, falsehood, all within the church and from without the church, will grow worse and worse. That is the clear teaching of Scripture. And so we have to take heed. We have to be on guard. We have to be in prayer and in the Word and clothed in the armor of God and be contending for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We must be a discerning church, a battle-engaged church in a very dangerous age. And so back to 2 Timothy 3, that is what is on God's heart in this passage of Scripture. I want us to read through this section, and then I want to share a few more things with you, and we'll close out today and pick up where we left off in the coming weeks. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And we'll stop there. Let's pray this morning. Father, again, we just pause to humble ourselves before you. We thank you for your word and your truth and how you have revealed these things to us. You have not left us in the dark concerning the days we live in and the days as we near the coming of Christ, but you have revealed these things that we might know and be on guard and be aware and be living faithfully for you. And so, Father, we need you. So we open up this passage of Scripture today, and even in the coming weeks, you see fit to give us more days, that God, you would lead us in this time. That you would reveal these truths to us, that you would give us understanding of these things, that you would drive them down into our heart, that we would live out these truths, these commands, these exhortations, that we would be those who are faithful and fulfill our ministry. And so, God, help us to that end. May we be those who hold to the truth. May we be those who truly glorify Jesus. Those who are not led astray, but grounded in the truth and standing on the truth and fighting and contending for the truth. And so, Father, we ask that you'd build up your church in this most holy faith and be with those who are lost, even in our midst, that, God, they would come to saving faith even this morning. They would come to see their need for Christ and the seriousness of these things. And so, Father, lead us is our prayer. Build up your church. Let Christ be exalted, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Well, there are six commands given in this section of Scripture that we need to heed and to obey, and I want to share them with you. We're going to be going over these over the next few weeks, and so just briefly, and then I want to come back and maybe look at the first one a little bit more in depth. But number one, six commands here. Number one, first of all, verse one, he says, discern the time. Now, that is a command. He says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And the command is to know this. To know this, understand this. Don't be deceived about the day that you're living in. Don't be deceived about what is coming. The spiritual deception that's going to infiltrate the church and take hold of the professing church. Know this. Discern the time. Secondly, verse 5, he says, turn away from those who are false. In the middle of the verse, and from such people, turn away. And he spends verse 2 through verse 9 describing those who have a form of godliness. They will profess it. They will profess to be of God. They will profess to be believers. They will profess to believe in Jesus. They'll dress the part. They'll act the part. But they'll lack the power of it. They are professors of godliness, but they lack the power of godliness. They lack the power of a life that has been transformed by the power of God. They profess godliness, but they live in ungodliness. And he says, from such people, turn away. Get away from them. In the midst of a dangerous age, you're to turn away from those who are false. Thirdly, the third command in verse 10, he says, follow after those who are true. Verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Follow those who are true. He says, but you. In contrast to all these who are false, in contrast to those who have this form of godliness but deny the power of God in their life, in contrast to that, you who are true, namely Timothy, following here the Apostle Paul, you follow those who are true. Follow my teachings. Follow my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my love, the afflictions. You have seen me live for Christ. You have seen me stand for Christ. You have seen me suffer for Christ. And in the midst of a dangerous age, you follow those who are true. Then fourthly, he says in verse 14, continue in the truth of Scripture. Continue in the Word of God. Verse 14, but you, again, in contrast to the false, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation, which is able to make you a man of God, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You must continue in the truth of God's Word. This Bible is the Word of the living God. I don't know if most of the professing church even knows that today, because they twist it and they pervert it. I'll get on YouTube and watch godly pastors, but then it's infiltrated by a multitude of people who are proclaiming to be preachers, proclaiming to be pastors, who twist the Word, pervert the Word, mock the Word, discredit God, slander God. It's absolutely astonishing how much false teaching there is under the banner of Christianity today. How many false prophets and false preachers and teachers there are. But if you want to know what is right, and you want to know what is wrong, if you want to know how to get right with God and stay right with God, if you want to know what's going on in this world, you want to know what's going on in the nation, you want to know what's going on in the churches today, you want to stand fast for Christ, you want to live for Christ, you want to be complete and equipped and useful to God in this world, then get into the Word of God and continue therein. Continue in the Word. Continue in the Scripture. Fifthly, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he says, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. And I tell you, for the most part, it's out of season right now. When it's in season, that's when people love the Word of God and they can't get enough of the Word of God and they are hungry for the Word. But when it's out of season, then they can't stand the Word of God and it's offending them. They want nothing to do with it. They don't want to hear it. Either way, you preach the Word of God. That's the call. You preach the Word. Don't shut up. Don't let up. Just keep on preaching what God has said. And he warns him here, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time is going to come when you'll preach the truth of the Word of God and they don't want it. They won't put up with it. They'll shut their ears off to it. They're not going to live it. They're going to run away from it. But you just keep on preaching the Word of God. You convince, you rebuke, you exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And you can preach the Word of God with zeal in your heart, Holy Spirit unction, tears in your eyes, and people will shut it out and run away from it. They will not endure it. And that's the day we're living in. For the time will come. And beloved, the time has come. We're living in that day. Multitudes of false teachers, preachers, they don't want to hear the truth. Christians, professing Christians, will not come under the truth. And what do? They say, forget that. Let's go to another church and let's just pile up. That's the word, heap up. Just piling and piling and piling and piling. False teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. I don't want that, but boy, this over here sure does sound good. I'll just pile me up somebody that'll tell me what I want to hear. And that's what's going on in the church, the apostasy. People flocking out of true churches, Bible-preaching churches, and going to those churches that'll tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear, whatever suits them and soothes them. And there's a multitude of preachers, professing preachers, who will pet and pamper them all the way to hell. And so preach the Word. Sixthly, lastly, fulfill your ministry. Verse 5, but you, again in contrast to all this falseness, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. If you're saved, then God has gifted you and entrusted you with a ministry. And the command of God, the charge of God to you and me is to finish the work that God has given us to do. To do that which God has entrusted you. To bring it to completion. To fulfill that ministry. Leave nothing undone. And so God has saved you. If you're saved, placed His Spirit within you. He's sanctifying you, changing you, transforming you, causing you to walk after God and be conformed into His image. And He has gifted you to serve Christ. He has placed you right where you are in your family, right where you are in your workplace. That's your ministry. Serve God in your home. Serve God in your workplace. Be a light for Christ. Do the work of an evangelist. Be sharing the gospel of Christ. Be praying for those who are lost, pleading with God to save them, and you be the instrument God uses to take the truth to them, and you fulfill your ministry. God has gifted you to, with a gifting of the Holy Spirit, to come around the church and exhort the church and encourage the church and be exhorting one another in the faith in this day and age that we live in. Fulfill that ministry. Use your gifting. Do what God has called you to do. That's how we're to be living in such a day as this. You proclaim the truth of Scripture. You hold to that truth. And so he says, discern the time. That's the first thing. Make sure you discern this age that you're living in. Turn away from those who are false. You follow after those who are true. You continue in the Word. You preach that Word and you fulfill your ministry. That's how we're to be living in this dangerous age. That's what we're to be doing. I guess if you could boil it all down in the midst of spiritual deception, in the midst of spiritual falsehood, in the midst of such a day and age as this, there are two things that we must continually stand and fight for, and that is the Word of God and the purity of His church. The Word of God and the purity of God's church. You proclaim the truth of Scripture, you exhort the church to live in godliness, and you stand, having done all to stand. That's the calling. And I'm telling you, that's where the battle's raging in the church today. It's where it's always raged. The attacks are mounted right here against this book. And anyone who would stand and proclaim this book, preach this book, share these truths, an assault against the Word of God. Secondly, an assault against the purity of the church. Oh, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to be so radical for Christ. You don't have to be so committed to the church. You don't have to get all sold out to Jesus and so worked up in the Scripture and having to go out and tell everybody about Jesus. Why don't you just tone back a little bit? Why don't you just settle down? You don't have to live like that and act like that. And God's people so often, or at least those who profess to be, will just back off and tone down and adopt the ways of a wicked and sinful world. Oftentimes, as if it's no big deal. And so we cannot let our guard down. Maybe we already have. If so, we better put our guard back up. We must continue in this battle for the truth of Scripture. It's the Word of the living God. It don't matter what I say. That's the great blessing of preaching, because I'm not up here to tell you what I think. It don't mean a hill of beans what I think. But boy, what God says means everything. If I can just get what God says, well, then it's coming with all authority from heaven. And we need to stand on the truth of Scripture, the purity of the Scripture, the rightly divided Word of Scripture. And we better fight and contend for it. And then we need to be fighting and contending for the purity of Christ's church, who is to come out from among them and be ye separate. From such people that are false, turn away. You go after Christ and you be different. You be holy as He is holy. And so this is where we must stand and this is where we must fight, because this is where the battle's raging right here and right now. Now, That's all introduction. You ready to get started? We'll look at this first point briefly. Number one, he says here, discern the time. That's the first thing that we need to take to heart. Number one, discern the time. And look at verse one. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. This is a call to discernment. We are called to discern the time that we're living in. God says, but know this. But know this. Get a hold of this. Be aware of this. Understand this. Be sure of this. Know this with absolute certainty. That is the command. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And so God is telling us what to expect as we near the coming of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, God hasn't left us in the dark. God hasn't left us just wondering. I wonder what's going to happen as we draw closer and closer to the time of Christ. God says, I'm going to reveal it to you, and then I'm going to command you that you know it. Know this. Don't be misled. Don't be in derision. Don't be in delusion. Don't be asleep. Don't have the wool pulled over your eyes thinking all is well when all is not well. God says, know this. And what God has said will most assuredly come to pass. Be absolutely sure of this. And what are we to know and understand and be assured of with such certainty? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The last days. The last days is referring to a period of time or an age of time or a span of time. The last days is a phrase that is used throughout the New Testament to speak of that span of time from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Christ. Let me give you a couple of verses on that. Number one, in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days. He has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. And so in that verse, the last days, we see clearly described as the days when Christ was upon this earth and God was speaking to us by His own Son. And so the last days, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So the last days began when Jesus began His earthly ministry. But then over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it tells us that scoffers will come in the last days. So still in the last days, and now the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? And so there are going to be those in the last days who will come scoffing the second coming of Christ. They're going to be mocking the coming of Jesus. They're going to be acting as if it's never going to come. Where is this promise? I thought Jesus was coming. They're going to be laughing it off as a joke. And so the last days continue all the way up to the second coming of Christ, which is often called in Scripture the day of the Lord. When Jesus returns in power and great glory, gathering His own, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. And so the last days continue on after Christ, after the cross, after His death, burial, resurrection, and into the time when the gospel has been spreading and the teaching of the second coming of Christ is now prolific, commonplace, widespread, and scoffers come denying and mocking that promise. And they've come. They've been around for some time, and they're still present today, laughing off the coming of Jesus, laughing off the truth of Scripture. But regardless of their scoffing, Jesus is coming. He's coming. And so the last days refer to that period from the first coming of Christ all the way to the second coming of Christ. And so understand, God says, know this, in the last days. We're living in that span of time known as the last days. And in those last days, God says, perilous times will come. Perilous times are going to come in that time. The word perilous means difficult, hard, troublesome. The word can mean violent, like violent waves breaking up a ship. Dangerous times. And this word times refers to a season, an epoch, a period of time, a measure of time, a span of time, or a duration of time. And so Paul is warning Timothy, and God is warning us in this church age between the period of Christ's first coming and his second coming, the church advancing in this world, there will come seasons, periods of times that will be perilous, troublesome times, violent times, dangerous times. What are those dangers? What do you mean, dangerous times? What are we going to be experiencing? Well, there's four things in this passage, just briefly. I'll try not to keep you here till tonight. If we do, we'll just go on into tonight's message. I'm teasing. Maybe. You can smile. It's all right to smile. I know, you're saying, preacher, why don't you practice that? I do. I do sometimes. Number one, what are these dangers? Spiritual falsehood. Spiritual falsehood. As we said earlier, ungodliness that is disguised as godliness. That's in verses 2 through 5. We won't go back there and read all that, but people are going to say they're religious. People are going to say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I go to church sometimes. But their godliness is false. It's missing the power of God. I mean, they say they believe in Jesus. They say they go to church. They say they believe the Bible. But there's no outward power in their life. There's no transformation in the heart. There's no transformation on the inside. Therefore, on the outside, the way they live their life is not any different than someone who doesn't know God. They have a form of godliness, meaning this outward shape, but denying its power. No power. It's what Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not those that believe. Even the demons believe and tremble. It's those that are born again. Unless you're born again, not going to heaven. What's it mean to be born again? Changed by the power of God from the inside out. Means God's reached down and taken a sinner and washed him in the blood of his Son, taken out a heart of rebellion and put in a heart of flesh, a heart of submission that will go after God, and God will see to it. And their life's not powerless. It's being transformed by the power of God. And so it'll be marked by spiritual falsehood, and we're living in that day. So many profess to believe in Jesus, believe the Bible, go to church, but they don't live for Jesus. They love themselves. They love their own lives. They love their own ways. Their godliness is false, and it's proven false in the way they live their life. There's no fruit. There's no fruit. There's no root. There are those in Titus 1:16. They profess to know God, but in works, meaning their manner of life, they deny Him. The last days will be marked by spiritual falsehood. We're living in that day. Secondly, by persecution. This is verses 10 through 12. Paul says, look, you've seen my life. I have followed Jesus, and I have faced persecution and afflictions and suffered because of it. Yet the Lord has delivered me out of them all. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so persecution is going to come upon the church. There's going to be seasons where it's more intense than other seasons, but persecution will come. And Jesus warned us of this. We just haven't lived much of it here in America. We've been under this umbrella of protection, but no more. But Jesus said, look, you're not above your master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. He said, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Again, it's going to come down to Jesus, the truth of Jesus, the Word of God. That's why we'll be hated, because it will not be tolerated. He said, this world, and in this world, you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, because I've overcome the world. We don't have to fear. You know, we can look back through church history and there have been seasons of persecution upon the church, sometimes worse than others. But there's been seasons where the church and those who are Christ have sealed their testimonies with their own blood. Matter of fact, that's still going on today in places like North Korea, Kazakhstan, China, Africa, Pakistan, India. The church is suffering greatly. Christians being arrested and beaten, pastors being arrested and beaten and even put to death. Even in the last 2 years in Canada, pastors have been imprisoned in Canada. Their church buildings and properties have been seized by the government. And more is to come. And we, as a church, right now in this nation, persecution is standing at our doorstep. If you hold to the truth of the Bible, if you call sin, sin, if you call abortion, murder, if you call homosexuality and transgender ideology abominations of God, then you are hated and you are despised. And this society will not tolerate you. And so it's only a matter of time until they make these things hate crimes and you speak these things and you'll be fined and then you'll be in prison. And then what's the church? If I'm in jail, what are you going to do? Is somebody going to come and stand at this pulpit and preach? Will you go to jail too? Will you stand having done all to stand? Will you lose your job for the sake of Christ, be shut out because you believe these things? I'm telling you, we're at that doorstep. It's knocking on our door right now. God could turn things around and we could have another duration, a span of time where things aren't quite that bad yet, but it's coming. The last days will be marked with difficult seasons of persecution. Thirdly, spiritual imposters. That's verse 13. Evil men, imposters, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's going to get worse. That's not getting better. That's going to get worse and worse. They will be creeping into the church under the guise of a preacher, pastor, Bible teacher, author, and yet they're not called of God. They're not born of God. They're not sent by God. They do not honor God, and yet they go forth deceiving. And that will get worse and worse, and it has. Fourthly, lastly, an intolerance of the truth. As we said, verses 3 and 4 of chapter 4, they will not endure sound doctrine. Listen, that's not talking about a lost world. That's talking about within the realm of professing Christianity. Those who say they're Christians, those who say they love Jesus, they won't endure sound doctrine. They will not put up with it. They're not going to tolerate the true teaching of Scripture. You preach the Word of God and you convince, rebuke, and exhort. You can do it with all long-suffering and teaching. They don't want to hear it. They won't have it. And they'll heap up for themselves these false teachers who will tell them what they do want to hear. But they're not going to tolerate the truth. And so the last days, the span of the church age between the first coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, it will be characterized by seasons of spiritual falsehood, persecution on the church, spiritual imposters growing worse and worse, and an intolerance of the Word of God within the church and without the church. And so this is what we can expect. Perilous times. And this is what we are seeing consuming the world, is it not? Are we seeing these things today? Everywhere. Many who profess the name of Christ, missing the power of God. No transformation in their life. They're not really following God. They're not faithful to God. They're not faithful to His church. Not using their gifting. Not telling anyone about Jesus. No power. Seasons of persecution all around this world. Persecution's been going. It's amazing how it broke out in Canada not long ago. Those same laws they're starting to put in place in Canada will soon be here. It'll be a crime to be able to convert someone out of homosexuality or the transgender lifestyle. You speak to them the truth. You say that there's power of God to deliver them. That'll be a hate crime. That'll be conversion therapy. You'll be put in jail. Those things are coming. And then countless, literally unending numbers of false teachers. As I said, I'm astonished how many false teachers are just perverting the Word of God. Just preaching outright lies under the banner of Christianity and the truth. Deceivers. And many in the professed church just running away from the truth. Will not have it. Won't stand on the truth. And so we're living in the days described in this passage of Scripture. The true church is under attack. The truth of Scripture is under attack. Perilous times have come. And the reality is, the closer we get to the end, the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the more difficult, the more dangerous it will become for the true church. We're seeing this reality. And what are we to do in such a day as this? We must be a discerning church in a dangerous age. We must realize the days we're living in. We must turn away from those who are false. We must follow after those who are true. We must continue in the truth of Scripture. We must preach and teach the truth of Scripture, and we must fulfill our ministry. And so Jesus promised the church victory, but Jesus never said it would be easy. And so understand, there's going to be warfare. There's going to be spiritual battles that we must contend and fight for the truth in. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be perilous times. And we must stand and contend for the truth of God's Word. And that's what's needed in the church right now, because the darkness is overtaking this nation and much of the church. And it's time to stand, having done all to stand. We must follow Jesus at all costs. We must never compromise on the truth of the Word of God, and we must never compromise on the purity and the holiness of God's church. God is commanding us to know this. Be absolutely settled in this. Know that in the last days, perilous times will come. And they have. And so we need to be discerning. I would ask you this morning, as we come to a close, a conclusion this morning, are you truly saved? If you're not truly saved, then today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, God says. There's no time to be, you know, putting off Jesus and, you know, I might do that one day. And no. You need to run to Jesus now. If you're not right with God through Christ, you need to be made right with God now. And you can be, because Jesus has died for you. He hung on that cross bearing your sin. All the crimes we have committed against God laid upon Him, He's paid the price in full. And all who repent and put their faith in Him will have everlasting life. If you're not truly saved, Jesus is calling you to come and be saved. And I plead with you, come and be saved. Be done living for yourself. Be done with sin. Come to Christ. Cast yourself at His feet. Call upon Him as Savior and Lord. Maybe you're here and you say, well, Brother Tim, I'm a Christian. Well, I would ask, have you settled down in complacency? I think sometimes Christians settle into this little cookie-cutter Christianity. It's all pieced out the way we want it and the way we like it. Even a church service. We want to come in, do the same thing, and get out at the same time and be done. Is God well pleased with that? Is that what it's about? Just get in here, go through those motions, get right back out of here and let it be done? Did that, that's over? Is there any superficiality in us? Falseness? Are we desperate for God? Are we complacent with spiritual things? When's the last time you prayed for somebody to be saved? When's the last time you went to somebody and you spoke the gospel to them? The reality of God, His holiness, sin, judgment, Jesus, the cross, their need to repent and turn to Him and be saved. That's Christianity. That's how we're to be living. And I think oftentimes we're not really on the front lines for Jesus in this world. We just kind of, you know, hide back, settle down, tone back, just ride the wave out. Try not to be too disruptive. And all the while, the devil's deceiving. Souls are perishing. This world's lost and heading for hell. And maybe it's time you just get back to your calling. It's time you get back to Jesus and confess any complacency and any sin that's come into your life and any lukewarmness in your life, and you just ask God to rekindle your heart for Him and your love for Him. your hunger and thirst for His Word, to be with Him in prayer, to draw near to Him, enable you to go out and be engaged sharing the gospel with those who are lost, praying for them, pleading with them. God, stir me up to be stirring one another up, using my gifting in the church to be building up other believers in Christ. That's where we need to be. We need revival. So whatever God may be doing in your heart, maybe there's something else God's just pressing on you about, I just want to encourage you to be obedient to Him. Surrender to Him. Come calling on Him. And He'll receive us, forgive us, cleanse us, enable us, save us, restore us, whatever needs to be done. Let's stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bow before You today and we just seek You in this time as we have heard Your Word. I pray Your Spirit would just move our hearts. Move our wills where they need to be. There are some here today, God, who are lost. I pray they would be overwhelmed by Your presence, Your Spirit, Your conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. Overwhelmed with Christ and His love for them and His dying on the cross for their sin, and they would run to Him and be saved. Turning from their sin, being done with sin, putting their faith in Jesus, calling on Him as their Savior, their Lord, their God, their King, their only hope. I pray for Your people today, God, that we would be honest with You about where we really are, where we've settled at in our Christianity and in our lives, and the things that have become complacent in our life, lukewarm in our life, the things we've let dwindle and fallen by the wayside, and the things we need to get back to, that we might love You and serve You, that we might honor You, that we might glorify You. And so, God, whatever You want to do today, I just pray You'd move us. In Jesus' name, amen.